been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
In 1969, when that special debuted, it had not been without controversy and difficulty that it had been made. When the executives at CBS approached Charles Schulz about making a Christmas special out of his popular Peanuts characters, they were absolutely floored when he got back to them, and he said that the key moment in the show would be this moment when the character Linus reads from the book of Luke, the Christmas story. The executives at CBS were mortified because at the time, what they were trying to do is they made these Christmas specials, they wanted to make them somewhat generic, so that they kind of applied to everybody, regardless of their religious origin. So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty the Snowman, if you think of any of the classic TV shows that were made at about the same time, the idea was to try and keep them, for lack of a better word, secular. And so the story that is told came out of Charles Schulz's feeling like what was expected out of him he could not deliver, and that what he could deliver would be considered a failure. Everybody at CBS thought that the Charlie Brown Christmas special was going to be a failure because, you know, it didn't do what all of the other specials did. It didn't have a whole bunch of sing-along songs, and it didn't have a whole bunch of humor that enticed kids. It wasn't bright and shiny. I mean, it's the story of this little boy who's given this task in this Christmas pageant, and he feels like he fails. Because he fails, he says, maybe I don't really know what Christmas means. That's the story of Charles Schulz. And that's special. What special is more beloved than that one now? It is the most popular Christmas special that has ever been made. More people have seen it than any. It's been downloaded more times in the digital age. It's been shown more times. People, I'm on Facebook the last week, and it's like, Charlie Brown Christmas special is on December the 5th. I got to see it. It'll be still one of the top 10 or 20 rated shows that just got shown this past week. Expectations. We all have expectations, don't we? Got any expectations this Christmas? You know what I get to do on Christmas Day? I get to make creamy potatoes. And my grandmother's recipe. For a few years, we did Chinese food instead of creamy potatoes. But my brother complained. And because I love him, and because he's a jerk, we went back to having creamy potatoes. So I make these creamy potatoes now. And in order to make creamy potatoes, you need to make a roux. Do you know what a roux is? I don't. I'm the last person in the world who should do this. Ham and creamy potatoes on Christmas Day. But I want to meet the expectation of my brother. I want him to feel good on Christmas Day. We have that, don't we? We all have expectations. Expectations laid upon us in terms of our family. Expectations laid upon us in terms of our kids. Expectations from the school. Expectations from commerce. From business, that we're going to spend a ridiculous amount of money to try and show people or tell people how much we really love them, right? It's going to be measured by how much money we take out of our wallet. Expectations about where we're going to have to be on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas or however it works out as we meet all the family, as we get to all the family Christmas celebrations. Listen, my message to you is this. Don't worry so much about those expectations this Christmas. You know, that first Christmas, you know, when we think of Bethlehem, we think about it as this quiet, peaceful place where the baby Jesus was born and they were in a manger and there's Mary and Joseph and all the friendly beasts and angels and shepherds and a place where the wise men came. But Bethlehem, that was a city. Like when you say Chicago, what images come to your mind? Is it the Bears? Or when you say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? Don't say that out loud. Or New York City. Certain cities in the world, they have this, they have these expectations, they have this added meaning connected to them. And Bethlehem, at that time, was one of those cities. It was a nothing little village. The earliest it was ever mentioned was in an Egyptian codicil in about 1500 BCE, about 1500 years before the birth of Christ. The Egyptians used the city to be able to rule over the Canaanites who controlled that part of the world at the time. So we don't really know how old Bethlehem is, but we know this. It used to be called Ephrath, and then its name changed to Bethlehem, which means City of David, because that's where David was born. King David, the most important figure in all of Israel's history, more important than Moses, more important than Abraham, is David, the one who wrote the Psalms. The one who actually took possession of this place that had been promised to Abraham so many years before. And because God had used a person like David to do this great work, years into the future, 600, 700 years after David had walked the face of the earth, and Israel was not an independent country, and it was subject to Roman rule, and there was a king by the name of Herod who was not from the Davidic line, he was not one of David's heirs, a puppet king. People cried out for God to free them. And because God had done what he had done at Bethlehem, the prophet said God would do what he did again at Bethlehem. And so they expected another king like David, a warrior king. David, yes, unified Israel, set up Jerusalem as the capital city. But also David, who had killed so many people that God said, You're a man of war. There's blood on your hands. You can't build my temple. David, who not only got into it with one, but two sons who tried to kill him and take his kingdom away from him. David, the womanizer, sent your poor Uriah to early death so that he could make Uriah's wife Bathsheba his own bride, Bathsheba, who was carrying his child. That was the king that the people wanted, the deliverer, the Messiah. And Bethlehem was the place that it was going to happen. When Herod heard about it, you know, you think about that first Christmas, it's peaceful and it's not peaceful. You know, right after Jesus was born, he became a refugee. He and his family escaped. An angel appeared to Joseph in the middle of the night and said, "You got to get out of here fast." And they traveled to Egypt because King Herod, the puppet king, he heard about this birth of this baby at Bethlehem, the city of David, the new Messiah, the new warrior king. And he had every baby boy 2 years of age and younger put to death. We don't talk much about that part of the story, do we? The weeping and wailing that happened in the aftermath of that first Christmas. All because people have these specific expectations as to who the Messiah is going to be and what he's going to do. Let God do a new thing. God doesn't just repeat himself over and over and over again. When your life changes, and sometimes for the worst, sometimes for the tragic, God is still working. God is still moving. God is still creating. But we try and force God into a box. We want our life to be the way it used to be. We want the same thing to happen over and over again. And we feel like if we can't get back to that particular point in time that was perfect, whatever that point in time was, when everything was just right, that everything is not right. And I say, well, you got to let that go. This Christmas season, expect something new from the living God. Allow him to do a new thing in your heart and in your life. Allow God's creativity to create new opportunities for celebration, new opportunities for joy. If this is a difficult Christmas for you, if this is hard, lean into the mystery of God's grace. For God not only gave us Jesus, but he gave us one another. And if you are carrying a burden that is too great, that's weighing you down, I want to encourage you. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Let it go. If you do that in prayer, that's great. But if you need to sit down with a couple of friends, and you just need their comfort and support, that's part of the miracle of Christmas too. And so as our children prepare to come back in to close our service, I just want you to know that the miracle of Christmas is not a one-time miracle. The beauty of the birth of Christ into the world is that it creates new miracles. It creates new opportunities. It makes beauty in places where there's only ashes. It turns mourning into dancing. It carries people through the darkest of night into the light of day. Allow the Spirit of the Lord this Christmas season to refresh and renew you. Just as we were able to experience with all the sheep and the angels and the camels and the dabbing donkey. May God continue to do something new in your life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, as we come before your throne this day, as we give thanks for all that you have provided us in our life. Lord, we give thanks for these children who told this story in a new and creative way. Through costume and narration and song. Lord, we give thanks for these kids and how they brought this story and made it new in our hearts. And God, as we look toward singing and closing this service, continue to bless these children and their families and all of the people here this Christmas season. May they all truly experience the miracle that it is realizing that Jesus came to bring goodwill and joy to all people. And we ask this all in your Son's precious name.